Excuse me, this is the conference coordinator. At this time, I would just like to advise everyone that the conference today is being recorded. Should you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time.
I guess it's too late to wonder if that's an opportunity to get out of more work, huh?
Yeah, I think we're beyond that point.
Hmm.
Welcome, everybody. We're now underway, and we're recording this meeting of the Berlin 2 character subgroup of the Reserve Name Working Group. And we've had a number of contributions coming in. I admit that I'm one of the malfeasers who has not yet put in his contribution. Although I've been stuck in my hotel room all day and not at the conference I'm here to attend.
Oh, too bad.
It is. So I think we've had some email traffic today, and I thought maybe we should start with some of the issues that we were emailing about regarding experts, how to deal with technical expert contributions and any of the other things that we've been dealing with.
Can I just ask, because I'm not online right now, the looking at your list of assignments, can we just first of all, before we do that, how many responses have we gotten? We've gotten 6 and 7, I know, because I submitted both of those since Neil was traveling. Have we gotten any of the others?
Let's see. I think we got one other, if I'm correct. Let's see.
I looked at two letter names at the top level, and my review of it, at least I couldn't see anything that needed to be changed, so I didn't change anything.
Okay.
Okay. If you could just send an email for the record.
Okay, sure.
It would be helpful. That's good news.
So is that we just have two actual?
Let me see.
Recommendations to review.
I thought that we had one more, but I'm playing frantically with my inbox here to find it.
I'm surprised Aubrey's not on the call. I was thinking she could join us this week, but not next week, but I'm maybe confused.
No, she's been emailing, but I'm a little surprised she's not on since she's in some place where she can at least pay attention to the...
Well, Greg, what I might propose is if we do just have the two, that one thing we might do is just start at page one of Patrick's draft and go page by page as well. And then figure out what needs to be done. Because on Thursday, when I'm sitting in for Chuck, I want to be sure that the task force, the subgroups leaders, have a good understanding before they come into that call. Is their report 70% done, 55% done, et cetera? You know what I mean?
That's a good suggestion. I appreciate the advance warning as well. So the ability to work through it. Further proving that you're an asset to the subgroup. So I guess I would like to start with the issue of the expert recommendations.
Yeah. You joined us actually in, we were talking about that when you came on, and I'll just bring you and Alistair up to date on what I had said. I'm very familiar with the PDP and with ICANN's task forces. Some people accuse me of having helped to write the PDP. That's just because they're old and as old as I am. But the section that Liz pulled out and suggested that we try to use is actually suitable to the task forces appointing experts. There are two mechanisms at ICANN, two references to external expert advice. There's another document that's not relied on that was very often. It was developed when Grant Forsythe, who's a previous calendar, was chairing an admin group, and it too tried to address how experts could be identified and retained. But again, in all these cases, the board has under 11A the ability to establish expert advisory panels. what we have in the PDP process is this concept that the task force can solicit the opinions of outside advisors, experts, or other members of the public in addition to those of constituency members. Such opinions should be set forth in a report prepared by such outside advisors, labeled as coming from the outside advisor, accompanied by a detailed statement of the qualifications and experience and the potential conflicts of interest. We actually, historically, within the task forces that I've been on over the years, from time to time, have reached out to people and asked them to participate in conference calls, provide their opinions. We've often even hosted this kind of concept of an open mic and tried to invite experts. But we haven't appointed those folks as outside advisors. And the challenge I see is that the people who we reached out to, and that would be Rom and Tina and Carrie and Bellavin and Mark McFadden, those are just the ones whose names I recall, none of them were appointed as outside advisors to the task force. They were invited by working groups to share their views. And so we didn't, when we contacted them, give them this criteria that's in the PDP. I'm wondering if a solution might be to take the relevant section of the Patrick's report, the relevant recommendation, send it to the relevant expert, and ask them to please review that section and give us an email that notes whether they concur with the way we've described their participation under 3, expert consultation, and if they concur with the recommendation or if they have any additional comments they wish to make, which will then be appended under the expert consultation, and tell them we have a very short turnaround. But it limits the amount of writing they need to do and focuses them on the sections that we've asked them about.
Well, I think that's a good suggestion. I think it, and I was concerned about imposing too much on the experts, especially since we have a short time frame. I guess the question is whether that will fly with Chuck and Liz and, with ICANN, which I know is not a monolith, and neither Chuck nor Liz are monolithic representatives of SAME, but
so,
I just want to make sure we're playing by whatever rules we should be playing by.
I'm
not getting tripped up by rules we don't need to be.
Yeah, there's not a lot of clarity. I think it's a little late to be saying to the working groups, here's a task force rule that you have to abide by. I just don't know how feasible it is. And I also don't know how we would, if we want to designate these folks as outside advisors, I don't know what additional time we would need in order to get them to write a report.
I don't think it's the time we have.
Well, I'm not sure any of them would agree to write a report.
Right. Even if we gave them a month, then we're giving them a week or less. But I think a report is kind of out of the question. At most, we might get some quick email back, and I think that would have to be the report, as it were, a couple of paragraphs.
Uh-huh.
I think the concern that both Chuck and Liz, I think, raised, and I understand conceptually where they're coming from, is that trying to use verbatim text from experts as opposed to characterization of what experts may have said or concluded seems to be the better approach, and it provides backup for the committee's conclusions, or at least for the for the citations by the group as to what we're relying on or what we're counting or discounting from the technical people that we spoke to.
I'm under the impression that the assignment to the members of the task force included on their own reading the IFC as well. That was certainly something that, you know, we went through in the early part of the work. And so, you know, that I don't think we would be, you know, I think in the report, one of the things we've done is document what we've used as resources, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Well, I'm just looking at page 11 of Patrick's report as an example.
Okay, we'll turn to that.
And under 3, consultation with experts, this is a behavioral summary of what happened. It isn't a verbatim scripting of of the exchange of emails. The emails are all in the record, or they're all in the archive.
Right.
So,
is Marilyn, this is Patrick, is there a problem with the way I've laid it out? Not at all.
I was suggesting that's exactly what I thought.
Okay.
We're saying you got it right, Patrick.
Okay.
I was saying I thought that's what that section was supposed to do, was describe what we did. Consultations took place with this person, we had a conference call, we read the, you know, then we had some questions. That's what I was thinking we were putting in there. So that's why I didn't really understand where we would plug in quotes from experts.
I think the issue was whether we would somehow put in what the experts, what information the experts gave us.
So let's stick on one where let's look at that one again. Right now, this is single and two character IDNs. I'm assuming that no one has any emotion around that, so we can talk about it. It's just a factual description. The group has an opportunity to sign off on it. What else, using it as a model, what else would be added? The recommendation is that single and two-character U labels should not be restricted in general. They should be analyzed on a case-by-case basis. The ISO 3166 list will be reserved, blah, blah, blah. And so that's the recommendation. And then they're nowhere in this. And I'm not suggesting there should be. Nowhere in this, in here, is the back and forth that's taken place.
Well, and maybe and this is Patrick again, maybe I can explain that what I've done is distilled down many conversations between myself and Rom and others into something that's readable and understandable and clear, rather than giving you the pages and pages of back and forth.
Again, I think that's the only workable way we could do this in this time frame. And Patrick, I think that's the right approach. The concern is that, you know, Liz indicated that my approach somehow isn't the right approach. So,
and Patrick, I was just, so for instance, you know, if and this is just as an example, I would just say if under the, and somewhere in this report, there ought to be a reminder to people that they can find the archive of, so for instance, this says, the full Iron Working Group had a conference call with Carrie Karp and Ram Mohan, blah, blah, blah. There's a transcript available to that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so if that, and the reason I'm using this is I think it's a perfect example, Patrick, so I'm picking on you. So if that had insert link to transcript, and then everything else stayed the same, and then I flipped over to 6 or 7 or any of these others, I would think that what we're doing in the expert consultation, so now I'm looking at page 16. Single letters and numbers are widely delegated to second level, blah, blah, blah. We presume there's no technical reason for the peers that they can be released. So this is one we're working on, I think. But the expert consultation section, I think, just describes what the process is that we went through on expert consultation and identifies any experts that we spoke to. I'm not assuming it gives the back and forth. I would assume that the archive will have the back and forth and that in the background, relevant information, or in the rationale, relevant information will be deflected.
That sounds fine to me.
Because I don't see any other way to do it if the council reviews this and says, well, we feel the need for a report written by experts. I think at that point, they would have to actually invite a balanced group of experts to give them a more detailed report. But I think the documentation we're providing, the review of the information sources, and this is going to have to go out for public comment, right?
This report that we're working on right now?
I'm just trying to remember the hierarchy, Patrick.
I think that the new GTLD report,
yes,
which however many pages it ends up being at the end,
right,
when it either goes to the council or when it's being reviewed by the council, then it goes out for public comment.
Exactly. That's my point. So this will be a sub-report. The working group on reserved names and on pro and... Am I missing one? Reserve name. The work done by the working groups will be inserted into the full PDP task force.
I think so.
Therefore, all of these recommendations are going to be subject to public comment. And if the technical community feels, or if others feel, you know, object to the recommendations, that would be the time for them to raise additional validation or justifications, et cetera.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's how I'm seeing it. I don't know, that still means, I think, that we ought to try to make sure the transcripts with the experts are as clean as possible. But I still like the idea of sending the recommendations that are related to the telephone consultation we had with McFadden and Bellavin to them and ask them to give us an email comment on the recommendation, the rationale, and how we described the expert consultation and the references we listed, such as the RFC. That email will go into the archive. Right? It should be posted to the subgroup, right? Then, if they could do that before next Wednesday, then we would have the ability to make sure that the recommendations where they've been consulted had the benefit of their saying, yes, this is what I said, no, you misunderstood me. And if we get the request to them, I'm just thinking, you know, if the drafters send their draft recommendations to them, isn't it only five draft recommendations? 4, 5, 6, 7? The single letters at the top level, single letters in digits, second level, single in two digits, single letters, single digits, and two letters at the top level. that's only five. That's not a lot to ask them to comment on.
Now, wait a minute. We're asking them to comment on all the recommendations.
The ones that they talked to us about.
That would be not the IDN one.
Right.
So that will be out. I'm not sure that, I mean, I guess they talked at least briefly about all the other ones.
Well, I think that the two letters at the top level and any combination of two letters and digits at the second level are pretty much resolved.
You're right. So that then we need to go to them, you're right, I'm looking, and we basically took that off the table.
Right.
Right, Patrick, good. So you just made the list shorter. Right?
I think there are maybe four or five that are still kind of in play, or at least were discussed in more detail.
Four. Single letters at the top level, single letters and digits at the second level, single and two digits at the top level, single letter and single digit combinations at the top level, because two letters at the top level are resolved, and combinations of two letters and digits at the second level are resolved too. We didn't talk about that either.
Right.
So that's only, Patrick, I count that as four, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
When we get to it, I want to bring up something about symbols that's come up since I sent my latest draft to the subgroup list.
Okay. So Greg, my suggestion would be that we write up what this recommendation is, and I can do that and send it to you and others to comment on. Post it to Chuck and to Liz. But I'm also going to suggest it needs to go to Halloran, because this is an interpretation of a PDP and how it applies to a working group. Working groups are not standard operating practice. And the council establishes the rules for its working groups. Now, that may change in the future with revisions and hopefully the stable incorporation of working groups into the council's work. But this at least gives us something that I think is achievable and doable, but still puts the experts in the position of making a statement that can be relied on.
Right, which is what we'd like to do, but without, an overlay that's too rigid.
Well, I can't imagine either one of them are going to agree to write us a report on those four topics.
No.
So that's what we were talking about, as an approach to this. If that seems a manageable approach, I can put that in an email and send it to you and others, and then we can send it to Chuck.
We have some other comments on that recommendation in the call.
Sorry?
I was seeing if anybody else had comments to make before we circulated a recommendation.
Oh, right.
So, I'll take it from the silence that you should go ahead and circulate that recommendation for comment by the subgroup.
Okay. We're going to have to do this really quickly, right?
Yes.
So you just wanted to go to the subgroup, and when do you want to try to make a decision and go to Chuck and to Liz and Dan Halloran on it?
Well, if we can get sign-off from the other members of the subgroup, just, an I agree or please change this, otherwise I agree email, we should get that off to Chuck et al, if possible today. It's certainly no later than tomorrow, but as soon as we can get, a rough consensus from the group.
Okay.
Those on the call. And,
okay, so.
Those who are not on the call will check their email.
Okay, so the people not on the call are
Mike Rodenbaugh and Avery.
Okay.
And John Nevitt.
Okay. I will do that when we finish them. And I'm just going to use the subgroup list.
Yeah, the RNSL.
Yep.
Group.
Okay.
Now, if later on people want to surface it to the general group as an issue for other working groups, but let's let Chuck kind of take a first hack at it and then decide how he wants to, bring it out to the rest of the group.
Okay.
Because it may be an issue that other, subgroups are dealing with, or if they aren't dealing with it, they might need to at least consider it.
Okay. Did you want to go through the recommendations you received in the draft?
Sure. Why don't we do that? I think yours are the only ones we have. I'm correct. So.
But then, Patrick, you had something you wanted to talk about. Do you want to do that first?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll start with Patrick, because I think he's up more at the front of the book anyway. So,
I sent around late in the week the updated template.
Right.
And I had a lot of issues with it, so hopefully this looks okay to everyone. I added the definition of character information on single and two-character labels for IEN. And then in the last working group call, Chuck said for us to put back in symbols. So I did that and then received some quick feedback from Carrie Karp and also from William Tan, who is Newstar's point person on implementing IBM for .biz.
Yeah.
We have symbols slightly wrong. And so what I propose to do is send around an update to the subgroup and want everyone to take a look at it. It's basically, we're pretty close. It's just the way it says right now is that symbols are not supported in the DNS and quite accurate.
Right.
So what I'm going to send around is language that technical experts can sign off on, and it's accurate. It's what we're using in our in ICANN's IDN glossary right now.
And you're talking about the treatment of symbols in the in IDN as opposed to...
No, I'm talking about treatment of symbols in general.
Okay. I'll look forward to seeing that. So we would start with a change then on page 2. Is that right, Patrick?
It's going to go in page 9.
Yeah, but page 2 starts with symbols are not supported in the DNS.
Yeah, so in the recommendations, page 2, symbols are not supported in the DNS. Yeah, I've got some new language to add there.
Okay, and then on page 9.
Yeah, it's not quite technically accurate. So I want the report to be as technically accurate as possible, and I have language that is.
Great. Can I ask a question when you finish, please, about the write-up on characters?
Sure.
I'm ready. So if you want to talk about characters?
It would be useful, Patrick, for the layperson to have a sentence that used to be in something that I drafted, but I think it may have eroded out over time, and it is that... this isn't the definition of character, but that the term character encompasses symbols, letters, and digits. What this definition is about character when it comes to discussing IDN.
You know, we had a lot of push back and forth over the past 2 weeks about that. And basically, we can't come up with an easy one-sentence explanation of what a character is. I had tried to, at least in the definition, perhaps take out the phrase for the purposes of discussing IDN, because it's really for the purposes of discussing domain names.
Right.
And
right.
PCs. And, Terry really wanted it. Is that clarification put in there?
I understand, but Carrie is a really wonderful IDN-specific expert, and the average non-IDN user, of which there are several millions, need to, and the readers need to understand that in the DNS, a character may be a digit, a letter, or a symbol. Otherwise, our whole report doesn't make any sense to them.
I think we could probably come up with something that works like that. And I wanted Tina to be on this call, and unfortunately she's out of the office today. But, you know, I think we can come up with something like that.
Sure, because although ideas are important and we're all committed to them, we have to respect the fact that they're ASCII TLDs as well. And most of our reports, when you kind of break it apart, it's got two faces to it. It's got an IDN face, and then it's got an ASCII face.
Well, my attempt was to have this definition of character not just be a IDN definition, but a
I thought that was kind of how we started. But
I think it's been pushed back and forth a little bit.
It's been pushed back and forth a lot.
Well, maybe the pushback needs to happen publicly so that the IDN guys aren't feeling that certainly I recognize the importance of being really clear, and this is a great description of character as it relates to the purpose of discussing IDNs.
And the alternative, I guess, which is not necessarily a good alternative, but I'll throw it out there, would be to have a paragraph that, you know, says for the purposes of discussing everything other than IDN or something more, it is a letter, a number, or a letter, a digit, or a symbol.
I would have thought that character would start out with a very high-level, very generic statement that said, for the purposes of discussing the DNS, a character may be a digit, a letter, or a symbol.
I guess the only problem with that is that kind of excludes IDNs in the sense.
No, wait, let me go on.
IDNs are symbols, but I don't.
No, let me go on. So that would be the opening description of character. And then it would say, for the purposes of discussing IDNs, blah, 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 and keep what's written here. But we have to have a balance of recognizing the roughly 100 million plus ASCII, why don't we try, and Patrick, I'm happy to post to the full group. This is the subgroup report, but a large part of our report is about ASCII treatment. Would it be helpful for me to post to the list so that Gary and Tina can see the concern I've raised?
You know what? Why don't I try to pick this up? And if you want to do that, that's fine. But perhaps it can be dealt with pretty easily, and you don't have to spend a lot of time on it.
I don't want to spend any time on it. I'll just list and say earlier I had suggested that we needed an overall definition, very, very broad, that character, the term character encompasses, and then there's specific treatment in ASCII and specific treatment in IDN.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Alan. I think if we...
Is there any problem with the examples that I've used?
Problem or question might be. You mean the Chinese word for alcoholic beverage?
Is there any problem with the examples that have been used so far?
I don't think so. I think they're good. My Farsi's a little rusty, but it looks right.
I posted to the subgroup list some additional examples that came from William Tan.
I saw those.
And those are existing registrations in .biz. I would like to add those to the IDN section just as additional examples. And if there's any problem with that, anybody say so. Otherwise, I'm going to put those in as well.
Well, I think those are good, but those go in the section. These are just labels. This isn't about where they're registered, right?
No, this is just as examples of IDNs as second-level names.
Right. And then you would just put the other examples in the IDN section. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm also updating the IDN section to include the relevant references to the GAC principles and the IDN working group sections we mentioned last week. I was a bit swamped at the end of the week to get this done, so it's my apologies for not turning in a completed section.
We're in awe, but I have a question for you. It's a generic question to all of us. We tend to use the term, the phrase, consultations occurred with, and then we list people as though the reader will know who they are. Should we maybe be thinking that we have a annex to our report, Greg, which lists the experts and gives their title?
I think that's a good idea, and that kind of goes at least partway to satisfying, albeit more informally, one of the Chuck/Liz concerns that, you know, they you know, that we have some identification of who the experts are and their credentials.
Right, because, and so maybe what we could do is have the annex have their name, their title slash affiliation, and their CV.
Right, if there's some pre-existing, you know, squib that's been used to describe all or most of these people in some other, you know, related context, we can just hopefully list that from somewhere.
Because I was just noticing Michael Everson, and I know who Tina Dan is, but lots of other readers might not, or Terry Carr. Anyway, that just might...
Why can't we put that in the, just improve the consultation with experts section, or the summary of relevant information sources list the experts in a title?
I think that's great. I think also that saves us from monkeying with the template. So.
I'm sorry, where? I didn't understand where.
In the section on consultation with experts.
Either put it there or in the summary of relevant information sources with experts consulted with and title.
So either on.
I don't see a heading called summary of relevant.
Bottom of page 8.
Top of page 8, sorry.
It's within each section.
Oh, put it in each section.
It's already in. Each section has consultation with experts and summary of relevant information sources.
It does. Right. So just repeat it. Okay.
Put the range in the relevant section.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, if we want, we can leave it out of subsequent ones if it's been mentioned once, but that's an editing issue.
Yeah.
That's a good place to put it, and we avoid having to create a side car to the existing template.
So, Patrick, on page 9, which has recommendation 2, symbols, and it's the ASCII character treatment and the DNA, ASCII character treatment. So
right.
Recommendation 1 is about, recommendation 1 says that it's about the definition of character, but it doesn't say that it's about the definition of character in IDNs. And then recommendation 2 says symbols.
Well, that's because definition of character should be character across the board, not
okay,
IDN.
I got it. So that's
the hot level definition.
So that change we already talked about. And then I go to recommendation 2, and I see that here it says only ASCII characters are permitted. I think I actually wrote this very early, a long time ago, and then it was edited. So discussions with technology experts indicate there would not be support for making any changes to allow the release of symbols in 1 or 2 character main names at any level.
That's not going to change.
Right, and then we have the reference to the consultation with experts.
Yes.
And the summary of relevant information sources where we...
So here's where I have some new information.
Okay.
I have an RFC, RFC 952, that I need to add here.
Okay.
And then I need to clarify that this restriction on symbols in the DNS comes from the host name convention.
Right, I was reading that today, yeah.
And this means that domain names can only be letters A through Z, digits 0 through 9, and the hyphen.
Right.
And that is the convention for why those symbols are not allowed.
Right. Good reference before, but it'd be really good to have that. And then that should probably, shouldn't that go in the background?
That goes in the background, and it also is, I need to go back up to page 2 and change symbols are not supported in the DNS to, I have a clarifying sentence that should go there, and I haven't, it's almost finished, but I need to put that in that section.
Okay, great. And then, so then we go into recommendation 3, and that's the
second.
IBM.
Now, and before we go on to recommendation 3, I just have one question about the recommendation on symbols. That first sentence, that only ASCII characters are permitted in the DNS. There are ASCII characters other than AZ039 and the hyphen.
Not in the DNS.
Right, I know. But so I'm saying, I guess the way I read this originally, or maybe I'm just being dense, is that you need to say only certain ASCII characters are permitted in the DNS.
So tell me what you mean by that, Greg.
Well, I guess when I looked at this initially and quickly, I thought that maybe it was trying to say that all ASCII characters are permitted in the DNS. I know that's not the case. So
could you do it another way, which say only the following ASCII characters are ASCII?
Right.
That would be okay.
What is the reference to at present, Alistair?
Well, because I guess we're examining whether there should be any added.
Well,
but
this is related to RFCs, which we don't have the ability to change.
No, true, but it seems to me that here we are, perhaps I'm misunderstanding. So we are talking about IDNs, various other simple characters, and all that. But I thought it would limit the current situation.
So you're really cutting out, so.
Am I?
No.
Okay, sorry. It just seemed to me we should be limiting it to the current situation. If we're making a reference to an RFC, then I think we should refer to that RFC.
So you were thinking at present.
Hi, this is Aubrey. I just wanted to let you know I got delayed and I just joined.
We're talking about RFCs.
That's what made me speak up, as opposed to just sitting here quietly.
So Alice, it would be something like at present, based on the current RFC, based on the status of current RFCs, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yes, a related point is that symbols are, in fact, ASCII characters. Which certain symbols are, such as an asterisk or a percentage sign.
Yeah. The RFCs are pretty specific about saying the LDHs. LDH ASCII.
Right. So that's what I'm... Maybe it's right. The letter digit hyphen ASCII... Maybe that's what we just need to do, is put in the letter digit and hyphen ASCII characters are the only one, et cetera.
Yep, that's the clarification that I'm going to add.
Oh, good. Okay. So we can wait for you to do that.
Great. Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
And I wanted to, on this call today, make sure that everyone was fine with that.
Yeah.
Fine with that, but I'm going to raise another point. I'm not sure that actually did consult with McFadden and Bellevin on this topic. Right? I'm looking at the transcript and looking at my notes. We actually skipped symbols.
I'd have to have another look at the transcript, but my recollection was that we did actually briefly discuss it.
Very, very, very briefly, Alistair. And we didn't, they made a confirming statement.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm okay with referencing it, but all they did was just acknowledge the statement that we made.
That's fine, if they had nothing further to say about it.
Okay.
That's all we need.
Okay, but I just don't want people to be surprised if they come back and say, well, we didn't talk about that. We just acknowledged. Okay. Okay.
Well, I thought we asked a question of them, and they said, yeah, that seems fine to us.
That's what I mean. They just acknowledged the previous work we've done. I'm fine with that. I'm not looking for a... So, Patrick, you're going to add one more RFC. You're going to make a change.
I'm going to add an RFC. Edit the language so that it is textually accurate.
Yep.
And also add the language that Alistair mentioned.
But.
Great. I think unless there's other comment, we can move on to recommendation 3, single and two-character IDN, both at the top and second level.
Okay.
People have had a chance to read this and there's some comment, but and if not...
Again, as I mentioned previously, I'm going to add the sections that were mentioned last week from the IDN Outcomes Report and the GAC Principles on New GTLDs.
Right. And, Patrick, I think it would be helpful on the second paragraph where it now reads... As examples, single and two-character IDNs currently exist as second and third-level domain names, just to add in both country code, in ccTLDs, and in gTLDs.
Can we capture that right now? In both
ccTLDs and gTLDs.
And gTLDs. Yep. That's correct. Is everyone pretty much in agreement with this recommendation that we really can't restrict across the board single and two characters and IDN?
I guess I'm not quite understanding why they shouldn't be restricted. Maybe I'm just dense.
Well,
seems like a rather bold statement. I mean, it would be nice to say the same thing about ASCII characters, too. I don't know that strings should be analyzed. You know, it should all be so granular.
Isn't it because single characters and double characters within IDN, first of all, don't have the technical limitation of shortness, and second of all, can be complete words or
yes.
even sentences?
Exactly.
That's correct.
Right. So it's really two reasons. One, technically they're not the same, even though we say two characters, because they're all XN dash dash a bunch of goop. And then second, if it's Korean, for example, the one that I know a little of, if it's Korean, one symbol, you know, is composed of three characters and can be a whole word.
I think it would be very, very helpful, given that we have lay people reading this besides experts, it would be really helpful to have three sentences that captures what Aubrey just said.
Well, we've actually done that.
Okay.
It says, in some scripts, such as Chinese, Japanese, and Korean, single and two characters frequently translate into words, concepts, or phrases.
Right. I guess the other side of that is the technical explanation that you don't get, behind that, what the DNS sees is not a word, it sees...
Well,
the DNS
label. Yeah.
You know, Patrick, a footnote or a parenthetical.
Nope, that's a good recommendation, and I want to add that in.
Okay.
Yeah. Can I just add a slight caveat, though, because there are, of course, IDNs that are very similar to ASCII, at least here. So, like, Omicron will look like O.
And that is the other problem with some scripts, particularly Cyrillic, or other scripts that are very close to Latin characters. We're going to have a problem if we recommend release of those characters.
And actually, there's something in the document that the recommendation that Neil drafted that he and I spent some time talking about this weekend that's very relevant to that. And that is, it may not be a purely technical issue, but it is a user typist confusion issue.
Exactly. And it seems to me that our recommendation needs to reflect. I mean, I think it's addressed and this should be analyzed on a case-by-case basis. But
yeah.
Do we need to actually specifically reference
What about, Alistair, what about saying because, and then give that example, you could say, for example, blah, 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 then, therefore, requested scripts should be analyzed on a case-by-case basis.
Right. Well, you might even be able to go further and just sort of say, I mean, we already have the basic notion of confusingly similar. Now, this exchanges it a little and goes on to confusingly similar with a two-letter ASCII name. In other words, because there's any number of them, whether it's an extended ASCII in Cyrillic or whatever.
Right.
And what we're basically saying, as a group, they are confusingly similar with LDH ASCII two-letter names.
So
even if the name doesn't exist.
Yeah. So, for instance, hey, Neil, can I read ahead for a minute?
Sure.
So, for instance, in Neil's recommendation 7, there's a paragraph that he was proposing to go in the background section, and it says, there may be further considerations regarding how numbers and letters may be mistaken for each other by the user due to the appearance. And then he gives two examples, which is typing lowercase L and uppercase O. Lowercase L and uppercase O, which could look like 10, but it's not. So the machine may not be confused, but the typist may be confused.
Except, I don't think the DNS recognizes the upper and lower case.
Oh, you know, I wanted to ask you about that because I was reading RFC 1035 again because I was bored or assigned that job. So we can come back to see whether that's a problem. But here, I was just thinking about a sentence that could go in between the first sentence and the second sentence. That captures this concept and points out why they need to be analyzed on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I think I would seek here.
Why don't we, circulate some language to the subgroup list
that
we can trade back and forth?
Yeah. Good.
Do we need to say anything about distinguishing IDNs which closely resemble the Latin character set versus IDNs that don't?
Because
I'm not sure that a case-by-case basis is necessarily, as true for Cyrillic, or even some. There are some that are even closer than Cyrillic.
Here's a good way to look at it. For the new GTLD process, let's forget about second-level names, but for new GTLDs, we're going to be reviewing these applications on a case-by-case basis anyway, but by reviewing them closely based on the script that comes in, then issues of confusing similarity can be dealt with at that level.
They can be, Patrick, but we need to have some sort of principle that the staff can rely on, they can turn to.
You get the second level, case by case, I don't know if that would be workable. You'd have every registrar of your registry would be looking at, you know, thousands of
I don't think
domain names. At the top level, obviously, there's a whole, you know, process into which one more step can be worked into. But generally speaking, registration is, you know, a 30 seconds.
So the second level, I don't think it can be dealt with. But my question at the top level is this a I shudder to think this, Aubrey. Is this an issue of a controversial? How does this get resolved? So, I propose a domain name that looks confusingly similar to an ASCII string, but the ASCII string, it's easy to think of one that might look confusingly similar to .com, but let's say I propose one that is confusingly similar to an ASCII string, but the ASCII string is an allocate.
Yeah, I don't think it's controversial, because I think it's a variant of confusingly similar, but I've been worried about that myself, is the ASCII lookalikes that aren't LDHs, and I haven't quite known how to broach it, but it does look like an issue.
It's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that technically that's not an issue because underlying the you know, the Cyrillic PayPal is something that doesn't look anything like the ASCII PayPal.
Yes.
To the user, it's indistinguishable.
Right. It's in that other class that's the user. Yes. There's nothing technically wrong with it.
Right.
To create anything that looks ASCII, even though it's not. But also, not only does it look confusing when you type it, but what keyboard are you typing it with? So that, are you typing it with, you know, the basic ASCII keyboard, or are you typing it with an extended ASCII keyboard? Like, I can type both, you know, on my machine. So, and typing one is not the other. So that's a whole class of names that I think both in the IDN group, which I was in, I don't think we really covered, and I don't think we've covered here. It's the LDH lookalike.
Right, and maybe we just should say that.
I've been thinking about it, and I don't understand exactly the right way to handle them yet.
Is it just an LDH lookalike issue, though, Avery? Because wouldn't there be a problem with confusing similarity between possibly some other scripts rather than just...
Yes, you could have the confusingly similar between Yiddish and Hebrew.
Exactly.
Right.
Or Bulgarian and Cyrillic.
And there's also the Tamil and other Indian scripts that use the same character.
Right. So we do have that, and we haven't really gotten into that issue, and I've never even been sure whether we need to, but it tickles at the back of my mind.
Maybe this is just a further work. It may be high-hanging fruit at this point, not for lack of agreement, but for lack of
understanding
as to what a recommendation could be.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to me the recommendation is perfectly practical. It's just because it's just analyzing them on a case-by-case basis, and if there is a demonstration of, you know, of a problem of confusion, well, then that might be ground for rejection of the proposed string.
Oh, I think at the top level that's workable. At the second level, I don't think it's workable to analyze anything on a case-by-case basis.
No, sure.
We're not proposing. I thought this was only at the top level. I'm rereading this now, and I see, you know, I think maybe this needs to read instead, requested strings at the top level should be analyzed on a case-by-case basis. I don't think it's feasible to deal with it at the second level.
Right. And the ones that I was thinking of, the subgroup that's before us, which is the two-letter top level, seems easy to deal with. In other words, we've already basically cut off and said the ASCII two-level is reserved. The LDH ASCII two-letter is reserved.
Right.
So by extension, anything that looks like one of those
is reserved.
Should just be considered reserved. And that was the simple case that I was aiming at, sort of thing. I think that one can be handled. The larger case is a different issue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the idea behind the recommendation was really because we know that when the application process opens, we'll get applications for, we potentially could get applications for single and two-character IDNs that actually mean a word or a phrase like, you know, a dot Tokyo or a dot Beijing in Japanese or Chinese characters.
Mm-hmm. Right, and those should be okay.
Right.
At least in my opinion, those should be okay. But one that looks like dot AR, even though it's not LDH, shouldn't be.
Well, actually, Aubrey, when we say those should be okay, let's say we got one for, so I'll use Tokyo. Let's say we got one for Tokyo. Okay, may fall into a different category, which may be geographic and geopolitical.
Yeah, and that's another issue that we didn't look at that I was talking to Liz about in the background, is we're all dealing with sick and single issues at the moment.
Right, as opposed to...
And the compound issue is yet another story when something is that falls into two or three of the categories in which rules have primacy.
Or what's the progression?
Yeah. And that's a more complex issue than any of our single compartmentalized groups.
Yep.
There is another issue that is, I think, probably just single character specific, and that is if you've got... Say applications for O and Omicron, and perhaps, I don't know whether there's a Cyrillic equivalent as well, quite likely, who gets priority?
I'm sorry, you have to say that again, I didn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. So there's another issue, it seems to me, that is just a single character specific issue.
Yeah.
And that is, if you've got an application for O, for Omicron, and... if there are other IDN equivalents, I can't remember if there's a Cyrillic O, I presume there probably is, that the question is who gets priority for that if there are three applications for all for a character that looks the same.
Doesn't that get governed by the same rules in a round that all of those that look the same have to deal with each other and come into that particular conflict?
Yeah, we did propose that. I have to go back and look at the full PDP report that, of course, they may not be all in the same round, but then they would run into the previous
rule. Right. Then you run into the previous rule. But if they're in the same round and they all look alike, then that may just be something where we need a footnote recommendation in the PDP process itself, because we're going on similar, and similar is visual as well as any other, but we certainly had visual similarity covered.
I mean, the IDN working group would say the IDN should get precedence. That was, I think, I can't remember what the recommendation was, 4.16 or something, I think. But then, of course, if you've got two IDNs competing, who gets precedence? So, yeah.
Yeah, I would leave that one.
Yeah.
Because... You know,
well, I think it'll come up.
Right. I think that's going to be the same conflict resolution process, though. You know, and I can't imagine, I mean, it might happen, but I can't imagine that we would give IDNs priority. Perhaps it would happen in a first round, but I can't see it happening as a general rule.
Yeah.
Well, but let me just raise a different question. There are other things that have to be overcome, like is there a trademark is there some other conflict that has to be overcome?
Yep.
And so all of that performs a series of tests or things that have to be taken into account by the evaluators.
Yep. But it's a much more complex question once you start putting all these things together than what we've been dealing with in our separate compartment.
Okay. So we should probably move along, or Greg will never get to his meeting in Chicago that he's there to attend.
And I've got another meeting in about half an hour, unfortunately. But I do have to go. I have to jump off in about half an hour.
So Greg, do you want to review then? Do you want to skip to reviewing the two documents that were submitted by Neil and by me, and then see what else there's time for?
Sure, why don't we do that? If people can turn to that email, that would be good.
I want to congratulate Neil on being able to find his way back to Utah. It's much faster than I thought he could.
I just followed the sun.
He told me he was flying, so I misunderstood and told everybody he wasn't going to be on the call.
Must have to do with my two frequent trips to Europe, Aubrey.
Yeah. Shall we just walk through 6 and 7?
Just start with 6?
6. Okay, 6. Be good if I could find it. Here it is. Single in 2 digits at the top level, I felt like I cheated and got the easy assignment. Recommend that numbers not be released at the top level as single or 2 digit. I put in the word or other because basically the technical guy said no digits at the top level. Do we need to verify that?
I think that's pretty much what they said, that we can't have a numerical top level.
Right. In order to avoid potential confusion with IP addresses, and the lady...
Not numerical at the top level, no digital at the top level.
Right.
Okay, the same, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was thinking symbol.
Right. Then C, later recommendation, which proposes to allow allocation of numbers at the second and third levels, including single numbers, right?
Right.
So that's addressed elsewhere. Then the rationale is allocation of numbers at both the top level and the second level may result in confusion with IP addresses. Numbers are already allocated to the second level and legacy TLDs, no numbers at the top level. We have the risk of conflicts and interactions with potential numbers at the second level if we have them at the TLD level, we have conflicts at the second level where it's much more difficult to actually enforce restrictions. And then there's also legacy software that helpfully interprets if certain numbers, such as 00, are admitted. So we've got both DNS, but we also have legacy software. And then I just said that we've had previous discussions about the concern about conflicts with IP addresses. We reviewed relevant RFCs. We held an interactive consultation with Steve Bellevin and Mark McFadden. Here's the link to the transcript. And then I'm suggesting that the experts review this recommendation and concur with it. And I emailed the recommendation 6 and 7 to Steve and Mark today just because I thought they ought to sign off on it and told them we needed a quick turnaround. So... then I provided our references, and I referenced the relevant GAC principles that I could identify.
I just had one comment, Marilyn, which was just I did note in an email to the group just that basically Bellevin had said if there was a ban on... you could have numbers at the top level if there was a ban on numbers below that. But then he noted that there would be a problem with enforcement, which I think you've sort of said, but
right. That
was just one note. But I don't think it changes your recommendation.
And also since there are existing numbers at the second level.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess the option would be to allow... numbers at the top level, but at no other for those domains.
Yeah, but you know, Alistair, then you'd have to go to a heavily sponsored and moderated. And I know you're familiar with the fact that Internet NZ moderates certain second levels.
Yeah, it would be possible, but it's just
and so
too hard basket, I would have said.
Right, just for others on the call. So Internet NZ. The domain has, NZ has a number of second levels that are moderated. So, you know, let's take as an example, .geek is not moderated, but
.co, that's moderated. And so I have to prove I'm a company in order to get a third level. So you could go to heavy moderation, and I don't know if heavy is the right word. You could go to moderation and say the registry .10 agrees that there is no first come, first serve. All applicants have to be reviewed, and we're going to not allow any numbers, so they could actually just black out the registration of numbers or anything that looks like a number.
Yeah, so it is an option, but I guess the but we wouldn't recommend it at this stage, Marilyn. Would that be your thinking?
I just tried to draft what I read in the RFCs and what I heard the experts say. I do notice that I don't think I fixed the typo. It's an RFC, not an RRC. And I think the number is 1035, not 1535.
Now, the RFC they were referring to in the call was 1535.
Good.
But that said, I don't think 1535 is an issue because the RSTEP report on .name's proposal spent a lot of time reviewing RFC 1535 and
supported numbers at the second level.
Yes.
But not at the first level.
It didn't address numbers at the first level.
Right, right. Are there any other references that people think ought to be included?
I can't think of one. Anybody else?
Which is the one that, I mean, isn't the relevant one the RFC that requires just LDH only?
Yeah, that's 1035.
So that's in, all right.
It's standard 13 or RFC 1035.
So that should be included.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let me add that. And are you okay with the GAP principles? 1.4, preserving operational stability, reliability, security, and global interoperability, and 2.6, that the selection process, ensure, blah, 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 blah.
By the way, on the 1035, what we're really talking about is standard 13 because it's been updated many times, and that's sort of confusing. I'm not quite sure.
Oh, Aubrey, thank you. I get so confused on finding the latest update.
The RFC editor searching tool is the best one for that.
I'm sorry?
Anyhow, we should probably take that one offline in terms of aligning references.
Okay. So that's 6. No major objections to adding 1035. Is anyone suggesting a change to the recommendation?
I don't think so.
Does anyone want to submit a minority report?
It's a good movie.
Okay.
We're good with recommendation 6. Recommendation 7, single letter, single digit combinations.
Okay, this is Neil. The only caveat that I had, and it wasn't clear to me from our conference with the experts, is the sequencing. And hopefully they can get a response back pretty soon. But did anyone else get a clear view of whether the order of the numbers, the sequencing was important? I remember them mentioning it, but I don't know if it's in reference to this.
And I even captured in my notes.
And they talked about it with the dash, but anyway, with that caveat, with that one possible caveat, it appears that one letter and one number combinations are allowable, case will be reviewed, and the only real obvious cases I can think of is confusion on the part of the view of the user with a small L and a 1 and a 0, you know, and the O. But, you know, that should be picked up, you know, rather easily.
We should clarify that and I mentioned it earlier, that there's no distinction between uppercase and lowercase.
No,
right.
No, Patrick, there's no distinction in machine code. There is a distinction on the part of the typist.
Just the typist. Only the typist. So it's not really a technical thing as much as it is just
the confusion issue.
Yes.
So let me just ask the question here. So if I saw something written as 333.1 capital O, it's written, and I get a, you know, I'm emailed something or I get something in the post, and I type 333.10. So it's only a user confusion. It's not a machine confusion.
Correct.
And so
correct.
What happens? The user would just get a null return, I think. Right?
Or they might go to a different domain.
Yes.
Yeah.
It might resolve.
It might resolve.
Of course, you know, this gets into touch. You know, it touches, or maybe it doesn't get into, but it kind of gets near to some of the typo squatting tricks.
Right.
That you draw people to PayPal, where the L is actually a 1.
Mm-hmm.
Is that reflected clearly in the wording? I mean, is there a clause here that could make that a little more clear, that it's purely a user? Because it would obviously be covered, you know, when they applied. I mean, anything that's that obviously confusing.
So this is assuming that someone doesn't object to such an application for reasons that it's confusing.
Yeah, but you know, when we say someone doesn't object to the application, who are we expecting to object? There is no one who's designated to speak for users. Are we expecting the AI? That, and Aubrey had actually asked a question separately that's very relevant. So who would object? Let's say that I propose this. It's lowercase L and uppercase O. And, you know, the answer is, well, the machine doesn't read it differently. No, but the user does. And this gets approved, and it creates all sorts of consumer confusion and potential fraud problems.
Is there anywhere in the application process that, I guess, technical experts could have some kind of input that an application such as this one is just a bad idea?
Well,
I'm just asking a question, not...
It's not really a technical issue.
Right. It's not a technical issue. It's a policy issue. Because... It isn't a technical problem. It's a policy problem.
But this problem is not specific to letter number combinations. Well, I mean, because there are other, maybe it is. But it just seems to me, I thought in the PDP 05, one requirement was that that basically proposals would only be accepted where measures have been taken to avoid confusion. So there was some
That's good.
Proposing to prevent such proposals, such as
a user can always confuse a small L with a 1.
So Alistair, what you're saying is, we should put the paragraph in the discussion and background, but you think that the principles of PDP 05 will resolve it because an evaluation would show that this would be confusing to the user.
Yes. I don't see this as any different to what Bruce has frequently discussed in the PDP 05 group about variations on .com.
So,
I think you're right.
Okay, so this paragraph should just go into the background, and we should just go look at the principles and see if, in fact, but it sounds like one of the principles would address this.
Yeah, I mean, I would reference, I think we need to just have a look at the latest draft of the PDP-05 document, but I think it does address this issue.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And then all we need to do is just put it in the background section.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Patrick, does that sound okay?
It sounds good to me. I'd be interested to hear what Aubrey's thought.
Yeah, I was just, I mean, I'd have to go back and check too, but I'm still not sure that the PDP process has the confusing against something that doesn't yet exist.
Oh.
And as we certainly have the confusing against the existing.
Isn't it kind of a first come, first serve that the first one isn't confusing if it's the only
right.
one and the
so
other
is,
one
so
are
is
only
pay.
Measured by being confusing against
ooh,
it?
So is PayPa 1 allowed to come through, thus preventing PayPal to come through?
Yeah, so that
PayPal doesn't
is,
exist. If PayPal never existed,
mm-hmm.
and PayPal
then okay,
1
yeah.
be fine, because that could be the next great business model.
Right.
Well, of course, I guess what happens is one of the issues there gets to whether you have one TLD.
Yeah, Greg, maybe
not only another TLD.
Yeah, maybe the issue for us is the fact that since numbers are not recommended at the top level, this is confusingly similar to numbers, and numbers are prohibited. But by the way, can I just ask? Are there any other digits besides L and 0, 1 and 0? Are there any other digits?
5 can look like an S.
I'm sorry?
5 can look like an S.
I thought about 5, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's IDN issues.
Yeah. But IDN issues, I think, are addressed in the IDN section.
Yeah, and it's possible that all of these things fall under other categories, that the PayPal 1 gets objected to on trademark issue, that
mm-hmm.
that Tokyo spelled with a 0
right.
gets bumped on a geographic, and that if it doesn't hit on any of the other issues, it's not an issue.
But this is an issue, Aubrey. If numbers are not allowed, and this is confusingly
yeah.
similar to numbers.
And this is a category where we have a company that has expressed an actual interest in applying as soon as the round opens. I don't know if any of you saw in Lisbon, and also I think they were in Sao Paulo, the company is interested in bidding for .4U.
I'm sorry, dot?
.4U.
.4U.
The number 4, the letter U.
And I'm confused. What is that confusingly similar to?
Yeah.
It's not. I don't think it's the issue of confusing similarity. It's
oh, it's an example of a. Yes. Sorry. Now I got it. I got it. Okay. I was trying to make it into something. That, okay. Huh.
I don't think we want to use it as one of our examples because
no.
it's a company that's expressed an interest, but that is a real-world example of one that's waiting.
Right. And frankly, I used 2K as an example because I thought it might be a real example. But, you know, I don't see any problem with something that's not confusing. I just see a problem with something that's confusing.
Exactly.
So I don't see 4U, 2K...
And it's not a technical problem either. It's just... I think we just need to make note of it.
Yeah. No. So
move on.
Yeah. So could we propose just go in the background discussion and then move on?
Sounds good.
Agreed.
Do we need to note that we could also say, for example, the number 5 is easily confused with the letter S? And just make that a factual statement?
Yeah.
Do we really need to?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
It doesn't harm us.
Then the other one is number 2 can be confused with a Z or a Z, depending on where you come from.
So we to just include those two additional examples and move on.
Yep.
Dead. Okay. Under rationale? It's not a technical problem, it's a user problem.
Right.
And then what about expert consultation?
It seemed totally clear that they didn't have, there were no problems per se, you know, except that which we mentioned. And again, I'm unclear as to the sequence. It was a big deal with the dash, and it could be a deal with this.
So we can ask them that.
Yeah, we already have asked.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for an answer.
Yes.
Are there other RFPs? Donovan mentioned a few others, but I haven't had a chance to look at them. So we can get their answer.
Yeah. There are other RSVPs, but it's been some time since I looked at them.
Any other changes?
I think not. What obviously what this has to say. Yeah.
Okay.
Now's the time.
See, I know you're running out of time.
Yeah, I have about 3 minutes, unfortunately.
So what do you want to do in those minutes?
Good question. Well, I think we need to, for those who haven't supplied their input, we need to, and that's primarily me, and who else?
Is it?
Aubrey? Aubrey, did you have an assignment that you were supposed to bring into us?
I don't think so.
Aubrey was writing single letters and dishes at the second level.
Or was that Alistair?
Yeah, no, I thought I backed out because I was allegedly writing in another group.
Aubrey very skillfully backed out.
So who's doing that? We've got Greg.
I thought in the email Greg sent round it said Aubrey, but then has that changed?
It did say Aubrey, but
I asked for corrections, and it appears I was incorrect. So we need a volunteer.
Oops. Well, this is the topic at the single letters and digits, the second level. I'm looking. Let me find the report. It's pretty much. Hold on.
I don't mind having another look at it. That's it.
Could you, Alistair?
Sure.
It's pretty much done, I think.
That was my impression last time. So I'll have another look.
If you could, just another no for the work required email. If that's what you discover, would be good to close that off. And then that would leave me as the only one hanging out. And I will try to get to that maybe tonight if possible. Although maybe after a cocktail party.
What's my time frame for my email?
Well, I think, well, certainly by Thursday we want to have that, by the full working group call on Thursday we want to know where we stand. And I guess, you know, if you think there is going to be more work required, then you know, it would be good to have it circulated before Thursday and signed off. So
you actually, Greg, you have a deadline of Wednesday to know what your report's going to be on the chart that's on page.
I can do by Wednesday because that's Thursday my time, so that should be fine.
Just so you know, Greg. Right, you need to just update anything on the chart on 6 and 7.
By Wednesday.
Yeah. So, because that's what we're going to start with on the recommendations. But, you know, as Alistair, I'm just looking at this, single letter and digits, second level, It says release contingent upon development of suitable allocation framework. Examples include A.com, I.info. So I think, Greg, remember that the expert stated there's an interaction between single letters at the top level and the second level.
Right, we have the interaction issue there.
And that's not...
Well, probably the solution would be not to allow release to second level if four domains that have single letters at the top level.
Right.
But all others are fine.
Well, you need to... the other thing the expert said is there's an enforceability issue.
Yeah.
At the second level.
I think that, technically there's the issue of whether that would seem to be easier to screen for technically, the LDH ASCII's, just not to allow. If you have a single letter TLD, the software should just kick out any single letter attempt.
Surely we could do what, has been done for others and just put a blanket reservation on those characters for those TLDs.
But you need to go back and look, Alice, you need to look at the technical expert.
I'll have a look.
Yeah, which is, they think a study needs to be done in any case.
Yeah, yep.
And Mark was pretty explicit on some ideas on, I put it in my notes, but Mark wanted, Rodenbaugh wanted to strike it, but you could go look at it. Mark suggested
right.
There might even be a model for this study.
Okay.
Okay, I have to turn into a pumpkin in about 30 seconds. So then by Wednesday we'll have the chart updated. I'll circulate that, see if anybody else has any comments on that. We'll also get Alistair's no further work needed or an alternative email. I'll circulate mine by Wednesday as well.
Cutting it very close, that means the subgroup you may be going into this with the idea that your subgroup hasn't had a chance to debate it, so you may...
I'll try to do it by tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm just saying you may need to schedule another subgroup call.
That's what I was going to ask. Do we need to schedule another call?
Between now and Thursday?
You're not going to get it between now and Thursday, I don't think.
After Thursday we will need another call.
You may.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think we will need a wrap-up call after the full group call on Thursday.
Friday or Monday?
I can't do Friday. I can do Monday.
Either one is fine.
What's
Sunday would be my preference, but
okay.
If Friday's necessary, I can do Friday.
What's the date, Monday? What is the date?
Monday, May 7th.
Okay, I'm still in the country. I can do Monday.
Do we want to try for 1:30 again on Monday?
1:30, 4:30, yeah?
Yep.
That's probably good, Greg.
That'll be our last best shot since the Tuesday the 8th is the
right.
Drop dead day.
Right, okay. So, can we just get, Victoria, can you make sure to go ahead and schedule for us?
I'm sorry, yeah, that's fine. I'm going to also circulate the MP3 recording in an hour.
Fabulous.
Great, thank you. Well, thank you all, and I thank you for your hard work so far, and we're getting very close.
Thanks to Patrick.
Absolutely. Patrick, if all of us were one-tenth as diligent and productive as you, we would be done already.
Well, I had a lot of help from Tina, so you guys owe her, too. All right.
You're good at delegating and marshaling other resources as well.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, all.
Bye.
Thank you for calling the Digital Replay Service.